And welcome to the October 2013 Neville Goddard Mastermind. My name is Mr. 2020. Today we're going to explore eliminating the grip of guilt. So, let's begin here. If small manifestations are easy, and big ones are hard or even impossible for you, odds are that guilt is blocking your blessing. You either, on some level, feel guilty for asking for what you want, or guilty about receiving it. Maybe somebody else deserves it more than you, or you don't deserve it because of something in your past. Or maybe you're afraid that you'll feel guilty about how it happened. So, years ago, you know, this happened to me. I was really good at the small stuff. And I was on a coaching call with one of my mentors, and he asked me, what do you charge an hour in your business? And I told him, and he said, that's a pretty good deal. I said, yeah, of course. It's less than what most people are asking. And he said, well, why are you asking so little? And I gave him some BS reason. And he said, look, the reason that you're asking too little, and he said, I want you to explore this. The reason you're asking for too little is because at some level, you feel guilty for asking for what you're worth. Or you feel guilty for asking people to give you, you know, X amount of dollars for your time while they're making only a percentage of that. And, you know, I stepped back and I just decided to take a good hard look at it all. You know, I turned within and I noticed that I had some guilt. And the main thing that I can tell you is this. You know, guilt is like, if you could imagine what you want comes to you through a tube. Guilt is like a death grip around that tube. It makes it smaller, it makes it skinnier, it makes what you want harder to get to you. And so we've got a series of steps we're going to lead you through today. We're working through three Neville Goddard lectures, Walk on Water, True Forgiveness, and what's the third one? The Revealer. We're going to cover some really interesting steps that will help you get guilt into perspective and what to do about it and how to eliminate it in your life. And we're going to cover a series of bonus lessons as well that are in these lectures, because this is really good stuff and it'll help you to manifest what you want big time. You know, because again, in the world of imagination, size doesn't matter. There is no difference to the size of any miracle in life. And yet, this guilt trip that we're on, it needs to end. Because when you put guilt into perspective and you end it, you're going to discover that manifesting the big things really is nice and easy. So let's dive in. So we're going to read a little quote from Walk on Water. Neville says, "No one is without sin. At some time, everyone has mentally coveted or stolen. Describe a man in unflattering terms, and you have stolen his good name. Everyone is guilty. Therefore, do not analyze yourself, for if you do, you will miss your mark. To worry about what you've done is to waste your creative power. You will reap the tares as well as the wheat, for every imaginal act fulfills itself." And again, that's from Walk on Water. So let's take a tiny lesson out of that. First, this puts guilt into perspective. No one is without sin. So whether you manifest $1 million by hitting the lottery or you work all your life as hard as you can to attempt to accumulate $1 million, struggling is unnecessary because it's almost like, you know, because we live in a Judeo-Christian culture that we've got this belief that if we're guilty, we need to suffer. And you know, the only time you need to suffer is, well, you know, when you choose to. So let's put guilt into perspective. Everyone has sinned. And so guilt in and of itself is an absolute waste of time. And it's actually a hostile act at the core. Neville says, do not analyze yourself, for that is sinning and a waste of your imaginal power. And then he follows it with this warning. You will reap the tares as well as the wheat, as every imaginal act fulfills itself. So if you walk around analyzing yourself, condemning yourself, judging yourself because of something that you may have done, you are wasting, you are not investing your creative power, and you will reap what you're sowing, which basically is you're going to step back on that wheel of karma. You're going to sow what you reap, and what you're reaping are tares. So let's begin there. No one is without sin. That puts guilt into perspective. So it's okay to hit the lottery. It's okay to be in a loving relationship. It's okay to be healthy. You don't have to feel guilty about anything that you've done. And feeling guilty, again, it's just a waste of imaginal power. So stop it. Just stop it, stop it, stop it. So next, from True Forgiveness, Neville says, it's entirely up to you to practice the art of repentance, which is a radical change of feeling. A friend may have committed an act of violence and admitted his guilt. Practice the art of repentance by separating your friend, the actor, from the part he played, and identify him with the part you know in your heart that he would like to play. Persuade yourself it is true, and to the degree that you are self-persuaded, your friend will be transformed into and occupy that state for all to see. Again, that's from True Forgiveness. So in that paragraph, Neville teaches us some very powerful things to do whenever we are tempted to judge. Again, there are numerous temptations to judge every day. You go down the street and you see someone smoke a cigarette and you think, oh, they're going to get cancer. Well, you've just judged them. You've judged their act. And that is that in itself is it's a creative, unloving act. You know, not everyone who smokes gets cancer. Not everyone who skateboards falls down and goes boom. But we're so tempted to judge. We're so tempted to play the judge. And when we play the judge again, as Neville says in the first quote, walk on water, you will reap the tares as well as the wheat. You can condemn yourself. You can condemn other people. Stop it. So the next part of this lesson from True Forgiveness, Neville shares with us something. He shares with us a very simple way to start using our creative power. Neville says, identify him with the part. Identify him with the part you know in your heart he would like to play. You'd like him to play that as well. So identify him with that part. Identifying somebody, you know, as a murderer, as identifying someone as stuck in any state creates confusion. And we're going to cover some really good stuff in just a moment. But you want to persuade yourself that this is true. By the way, I love the way Neville shares this because it's easy to do this for other people. And it's vital that you do this for other people. As you go down the street, bless people. Bless people. Bless people. I go past, we have Hungry Jack's here in Australia. It's like Burger King here, or Burger King back in the United States. And there, you know, all day long, there's people going in and going out of that place. And I just bless them. I mean, it takes me half an hour to create a lovely meal, a nutritious meal, a meal that makes a difference. And what I do is I bless the food, I bless the people as I walk past there, because they need it. You know, if I condemn them, I'm practicing condemning and making it a habit. You see, if you start with other people, you know, Neville says, always use your imagination lovingly for seeming others. It's easy to start with other people. If you do that, you're going to develop the habit of using your imagination lovingly for yourself as well. You can't condemn other people without condemning yourself. Condemnation is a habit. Judgment is a habit. So if you practice this, separate the actor from the act. Separate the actor from the act. And remember that all acts are the result of states that we occupy. Whenever you occupy a state, you will act from that state. And so put others in ideal states. You know, when you meet a businessman, see him as wildly successful. Bless him. and that will create a space around him to help him experience wild and wonderful success. And the more you do that for others, the more you'll habitually find yourself automatically doing it for you as well. So let's go on to the revealer. Neville says, "Now the words God and Lord mean I am. Awareness is the foundation of all life, while the words God and Lord cover it up like a mask. Rather than calling upon the Lord's name, call with his name. To do that, you must say, I am. And because all things are possible to God, anything can be called forth with his name. The minute consciousness is connected to desire, you have called it forth with God's name. If your desire is for wealth, fame, or health, call it forth by claiming, I am famous, I am wealthy, I am healthy. Do that, and you are calling with God's name. We are told not to take God's name in vain, for if we do, he will not hold us guiltless. The minute you say, I am nobody, I am unwanted, or I am no good, you have taken God's name and conjured exactly what he has assumed, be it good, bad, or indifferent. Any assumption is yours. Now that you know God's name, put your trust in the true God, who is your own wonderful human imagination." And again, that's Neville Goddard in The Revealer. So, two steps here. What is the nature of the creative act? When does it begin? The creative act begins the minute consciousness is connected with desire, the minute a thought is connected with emotion. You have called forth with God's name. Think about that. When you get that, that will automatically transform your life, and you'll find yourself pruning the vine, using your imagination lovingly for yourself and others more and more, because you understand the nature of the creative act. The next little bit, how can we use guilt to our advantage? Again, Neville says, we will not be found guiltless. He says, we are told not to take God's name in vain, for if we do, he will not hold us guiltless. This is really powerful. How can we use guilt to our advantage? Claim what you want, because that is what you'll get. Live from that state of what you'll want, and that is what you'll get. Again, notice how Neville uses the term guiltless here. Notice how he uses the term guilt. Because what you assume you will get in life, it's very, very simple. So let's dive into the bonus bits here. These are also some of the things from the lessons. Don't think of the reasons why you cannot have your desire. Simply think you already have it. If you tell yourself that it's not possible, you are sinning against the Holy Ghost. Think about how powerful that is. Do not think of the reasons why you cannot have what you desire. That's where guilt comes into play. Because if you go, well, people can't afford what I offer. Well, you can't have what you desire then. If you go, well, I can't have it because 10 years ago I did this. Well, you can't have what you desire. I can't be healthy because I... Stop it. Don't think of the reasons you cannot have what you desire. Simply think you already have it. And again, the second part of that formula is vital. Simply think, simply feel, simply assume that you already have it. It's not about think of the reasons why you could have it. It's simply come from the space that you already have it. Let's try this next one on. Faith is an experiment which ends in an experience. Experiment by believing you already have all that you desire, and you will have the experience. Think about this. Faith is an experiment that ends as an experience. Experiment by believing you already have. Again, this is why we teach continuously, don't put a date on anything. If you put a date on it, that implies you don't have it. Faith is an experiment which ends in an experience. Experiment by believing you already have. The next quote. Do not let a day pass without practicing the art of walking on water. And what does he mean by that? This quote continues. Every time you use your imagination lovingly on behalf of another, you are mediating God to the seeming other. You don't have to tell anyone that you're using your imagination to help them. You know, you can take someone. Yeah, you know, I've done this with drug addicts, with morphine and heroin addicts. Yeah, you know, I've seen them well. I've seen them off the drugs. I've seen them not needing programs. I've seen them well, and that has come to pass. And stuff like that is phenomenal. It's absolutely lovely to take someone who's believing that they are an addict, to take someone who believes that they are beyond hope, beyond help, and simply practicing that art of walking on water, using my imagination lovingly on behalf of a seeming other. We're mediating God for them. This next quote's really good. Repentance and faith are conditions of forgiveness. But true forgiveness is forgetfulness. You get to forget. You get to forget. You don't have to be haunted by memory. This is one of the extreme powers of revision. We're going to give you a bonus recording on revision as well. But true forgiveness is forgetfulness. You get to the point where you don't even remember the quote-unquote transgression. True forgiveness is forgetfulness. Forget what it's like to be poor. Forget what it's like to be alone. Forget what it's like to be unhealthy. Forget it. And your life will change in ways that you cannot. Yeah, it'll change. I want to say in ways which you cannot even imagine. But it's true. When you imagine it, your life will change in ways that are incredibly seeming. Neville says, but tonight learn to forgive. This is essential. Learn to discriminate between the state in which a man is placed and its occupant. If you can discriminate between the two, you will forgive, for you will recognize the being is trapped in a role. How many times have we been trapped in roles? How many times have you trapped someone in a role by putting a label on them? And all you have to do is learn to discriminate between the state and its occupant. The occupant is one with you. The occupant is pure consciousness. The occupant is one with God, just like you are. And if you can learn to discriminate between the role, the state that they're living in, and them, you are saving them. You're coming from a place which you literally get to discover that you are the ultimate redeemer. You can redeem anyone from anything. Let's continue. If you really believe in your I am-ness, you must test yourself by daring to assume that you are now the being you desire to be. Walk as though you were. And if this is a true doctrine, your desire will externalize itself on the screen of space. Test yourself every day, and then one day you will experience everything described in the gospel as happening to the one called Jesus Christ. If you really believe, you must test yourself by daring to assume. Walk as though you were. Walk as though you were. You know, what does that mean? Walking in the state of the wish fulfilled, you know, I sit down with a client, you know, whether it's in person or on the phone or over Skype, and the first thing I do is I assume the state of teacher. I assume the state of mentor. I assume the state of guide. I assume the state of friend. And when I assume those states, something happens in my body. And the key is, the more you assume those states consciously, the more they become a part of your absolute everyday life. You see, I get to assume the state of loving husband every day. It's easier and easier and easier by the day, but I get to walk as though I were, walk as though I am that person. And that again changes everything. Notice Neville doesn't say it's about the things. It's about the state. Walk as though you have the wealth. And that doesn't mean that you'll be spending indiscriminately. What that means is, what does a wealthy person do? They invest their time, their money, their thinking. They invest every word. A true wealthy person invests every word. That's the difference between somebody who has money and somebody who's wealthy. Somebody who just has money doesn't get to enjoy it. Sometimes they don't get to enjoy it very long because they lose it all. But for someone who's truly wealthy, they can create wealth. For someone who is truly healthy, they can create health. Because they're coming from that state. Now Neville says, start now to put your imagination to the test. Jesus Christ is in you, and you will not fail if you call your desire forth with God's name. Sleep in the assumption that you already are the person you desire to be, and firmly expect the evidence to appear in your world. Sleep in the assumption. Walking in the assumption is to go about your daily affairs. Sleeping in the assumption is resting in this state. And it's not just the physical act of sleeping. It's me sitting here, even when I'm not in a session, relaxing and understanding that I am a marvelous teacher, that I am helping thousands of people. It all started with me helping one person, and then it doubled. I helped two people, and suddenly it kept growing. But it really didn't start with the other people. It started with me assuming that I could, assuming that I am. And once you assume the state, it starts to externalize itself in your world. So next, what we're going to do is we're going to explore three tools you can use to eliminate guilt from your life. Now, often what happens when people they feel guilty about something that's happened in their past, they have some sort of internal monologue or dialogue about it. And we're going to give you a tool right now to get rid of it. This is one that I learned from one of my Native American mentors. Back in the old days, if you had something on your mind that you just couldn't get out, you know, or get through, the whole process was to get it out. And to get it out, you have a good, decent regret. And so here's the formula that I learned. What you do is you schedule, you know, 2 to 5 minutes max, and you get it out once and for all. You talk about it. And it could be to a chair, it could be to another person, it doesn't matter. The thing is, you speak it out loud, and you speak nonstop for the 2 to 5 minutes, whatever amount of time that you've allotted. And by the way, use a timer if you do this. And so, if you have a regret, you just talk about it. You know, back when I was 15 years old, I did something really nasty. And you know, just put it out, and when you're done, you're done. You've said it, you've regretted it, you've admitted it to another human being, or you've admitted it to a chair. You know, it doesn't matter. Yeah, the universe is all you pushed out. But you express it verbally outside. You want to take that internal chatter and make it external chatter just once. That's all. Any more than that, you're indulging in it. So the first step is to have a good, decent regret. Vocalize it, get it out. You know, I really wish whenever that happened, I did something different because I realized how much I hurt my mother. And just get it out. Once, forever, done. The next thing to do is revise. If there's guilt about something in your past, revise. If there's guilt about somebody else, revise. So I was working with a client one day, and he felt guilty about the way a relationship of his broke up. He just wished it would have, you know, broken up in a lot better way. And so he wanted to get in touch with his ex, and she wasn't taking no calls. She wanted nothing to do with him. And so what I told him was this: sit down with her in your imagination and revise the breakup. That way, it doesn't bother you anymore. Revise it to the point where it feels real, and you prevent that from lurking inside of you and creating the same circumstances again. Again, Neville says that revision doesn't necessarily change what happened in the physical world, but it prevents it from reoccurring. It prevents that energy from lurking inside your life. So after you have your good, decent regret for 2 to 5 minutes, use the power of revision and go into the past and deal with it. The third thing to do is what we call rising up. In other words, now what I want you to do is to go into the future. Let's say, I'll give you a good example of mine. I was at the store and there was a lady in front of me with her little child attempting to cash out, and her debit card wasn't working, and she couldn't remember the number. She was looking at her purse for a little cheat sheet that she had. She couldn't find it, and she had like 30 bucks worth of groceries. Well, I wasn't sure how much money I had on me, but something told me pay for her groceries, but I didn't. And I walked away, I came home, I checked my accounts, and I had plenty of money to pay for her groceries. And so I felt guilty about that. I could have helped her out and made her day. And so what I did was I revised that. So I had my decent regret. Well, I went through all three phases. I sat down with a chair, admitted to the chair what happened, just like I'm admitting it to you, and I got it off my chest. Okay, interesting phraseology, got it off your chest. The area of the chest is considered the seat of power in Chinese medicine, the chest and the lungs, or the heart and the lungs. So I had a good, decent regret. I got it off my chest. I got it out. Then I revised it. I went back and I imagined actually telling the lady, look, pay it forward. Here you go. Get out of here. Have a wonderful day. And then the third step is to imagine it in the future. What would happen if I went to the store in the future and I ran into somebody different and I felt that urge? What would I do? And I imagine walking by faith with that. Rising up and walking by faith. And I'll do that with two or three different examples. Yeah, different store, different person, different circumstance. And the key is what we've done with those three things. We've taken care of the past, the present, and the future. By going through the process of having a good, decent verbal regret, we're getting rid of this present energy. By going back and revising, we're taking care of the past. And by rising up, we're future pacing. We're going out into our future and building in what our future response is going to be. Now, when I feel good with those three, I've experienced this full art of forgiveness. So to recap, first we put guilt into perspective. No one is without sin. The person who struggles, the person who has it easy. No one's without sin. So you might as well adopt taking it easy and receiving it easy. Think about that as a phrase, taking it easy. Okay. Second, let's explore why it's a waste of time and it's a hostile act at the core to analyze yourself. Because when you start going with, oh man, I'm guilty. Yeah, guess what? You've manifested that again. Okay. And think about it. People will, they'll eat a bag of potato chips and then they'll feel guilty about it. And you know what? They'll end up eating another bag and feeling guilty about it. Instead of just going, yep. Sit down with a chair. Guess what I did? I ate some potato chips. And then revise. You didn't eat the chips. And the next time, choose the celery instead. Okay? So you can go through those three steps. Next, we start by using our creative power by identifying anyone who we are tempted to judge or who has been judged by themselves or somebody else with a new part that we would like for them to play, that they would like for them to play. Okay? So we covered that. Really good stuff. We talked about the nature of the creative act. When does it begin? It begins the minute consciousness is connected with desire, the moment a thought is connected with emotion. That's when we've called forth with God's name. And again, how can we use guilt to our advantage? Neville says that what we feel, and let me get this quote just right, we are told not to take God's name in vain, the I am-ness. For if we do, he will not hold us guiltless. What you claim, I am, will show up in your life. So work with those things. Have fun with those things. We also covered all those different bonus points. Good stuff. And again, one of the key things here is this three-step. Regret, revise, rise up. Regret, revise, rise up. And you're going to notice, once you start doing this, if you're in business and you feel that your services are worth more, you're going to feel okay asking for it and accepting it. You're going to notice that not only will you manifest green lights, you'll manifest green, you know, money in your life or whatever the big stuff is, quote unquote, because you're no longer having that choke point of feeling guilty about having money. Oh, if I have money, somebody else won't. Nah, we create wealth. You know, think about this. It was creative power. It's always creative power that takes raw materials and produces something that's far more valuable. Think about this. Your MP3 player, a computer that you're listening to this on, it all started with sand, silicone. And that silicone, because of creative genius, has become microchips. And that's how I in Australia can communicate with you, and you can hear me any place in the world, because of creative genius, taking one of the most common elements on the planet, silicone, and you know, which is essentially sand, and recreating it in a way which is amazing. And again, when does that happen? Once we stop wasting all this energy. Again, as a manifester, you have two currencies, and those are attention and energy. And you want to free it up from this regret. Okay? Have your good, decent verbal regret. Revise. Go back into the situation and experience it fully real, fully ideal, so that that replaces the memory. So that the pattern doesn't have to repeat itself. And then rise up future pace. See yourself in similar opportunities in the future, responding as your ideal you. So that's it for today. I do want to thank you for exploring the October 2013 Mastermind with us. And I look forward to sharing with you what we call rapid revision in just a moment. See ya.